We discussed in the last year, as we concluded, that David HaMelech knew that he was going to have a son, Shlomo, in whose days the Beis HaMikdash would be built, in whose days there would be peace. The first son he had with Bathsheba died, and when the second one was born, David HaMelech knew that this was going to be his son, Shlomo. And he called him Shlomo. And the Kree, the way we read the Pasuk is, Vatikra Shmo Shlomo, his mother, Bathsheba, called his name, named him Shlomo. But in Pasuk Chav Hei, Vayishlach Biad Nosan HaNovi, it was sent through the hands of Nosan HaNovi, we're in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Hei. It was sent through Nosan HaNovi, Vayikra Shmo Yedidya. Nosan was sent with a message from Hashem. The name for this child should be Yedidya. Yedid is somebody who's dear, who's precious, who's loved, who's dear. His name was called Yedidya, the one who's the Yedid who's dear to Hashem. Yedid ka, bavur Hashem, because Hashem wanted that name to be given to Shlomo. So the name Shlomo HaMelech was foretold and given by Hashem, that's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim. And here the name is also mentioned as Yedidya. And we mentioned it was the last words on the tape. Some of the tapes actually lost half a sentence. But the Gemara says in Menachos, on Daf Nun Gimel, Yovo Yedid, the one who is dear should come, referring to Shlomo. Ben Yedid, who is a descendant of the one who is dear, referring to Avram Avinu. V'yivne Yedid, he should build the structure that is so dear, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Li Yedid, and this should be built for the one who is dear, meaning Hashem. V'chelko shel Yedid, and the portion of the one who is called the dear, Shevet. Binyamin was the Yedid. V'yiskapru bo Yedidim, and it will bring a kapara, forgiveness, to those who are called dear, referring to Klal Yisrael. And every single phrase, the Gemara has a pasuk to back it up. Where do you see that Avraham Avinu is called the Yedid? Where do you see Klal Yisrael is the Yedid? Where do you see Beis HaMikdash is the Yedid? But this name that Shlomo HaMelech was given, this name, Yedidya, is that he would be the one that was given the special abilities and talents, which of course he would have to bring out himself. But Hashem had plans that this child would accomplish great things. Another interesting explanation I saw was, in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, whenever it refers to the King Shlomo, Chazal say Shlomo is a reference to Hashem. Misha Shalom Shalo, the one who is the source, whose peace is his, referring to Hashem. So it could be Hashem said, in Divrei Yomim, that the name of the child would be Shlomo. And now that he's born, Vayikra Shmo Yedidya, Nosson said this child should be called Yedidya Bavur Hashem, because the name Shlomo was used by Hashem also, so Hashem wanted him to have the name Yedidya. So Shlomo HaMelech is born, he has his name, and now we'll go back to the other stories we were dealing with. Bathsheba was originally taken when Yoav was leading the Uriah, her husband Uriah was out at war, was together with Yoav. They were fighting against Ammon. Vayilochem Yoav. Yoav battled Barabbas b'nei Ammon. With Rabbas b'nei Ammon, the capital city of Ammon was called Rabbah. And Yoav battled with the city. Vayilkud es ir hamalucha. And he captured the city of the palace, the Ir HaMelucha, the royal city, the capital city. Vayishlach Yoav Malochim El David. Yoav sent messengers to David. Vayomer, and he said, Nilchamti v'Rabah, I've battled, I've fought against the city Rabah, Gam Lochadati es Ir HaMoyim, and I captured the city of water. And the way Chazal explained, the city actually had two parts to it. Rashi explains that there were two walls around it, two fortifications. And in the outer, behind the outer wall, was the royal city, with a palace and the royal city. Then there was another wall with an inner fortress where they could go in case of danger. Or as if the city would be captured by the enemy, there was an inner fortress where everyone could go, and there's another wall, and there's another chance for victory to be saved. So Yoav informed David that he had captured the outer city. He actually had captured the Ir HaMelucha, the royal city, which was the outer area, not the inner fortress. But when he spoke to David, he spoke from a military standpoint, viewpoint. The outer city had the water supply for the inner fortress. So when he captured the outer city, the Ir HaMelucha, it also was called the Ir HaMoyim, the city of the water, because he now had control of the water supply. So even though they went into the inner fortress, it would just be a matter of time where they'd have to come out and then have to do battle. A lot of the victory was already theirs. He had conquered the Ir HaMoyim. But now Yoav tells David, Va'ata now esof es yeser ha'om. Gather the rest of the people. Va'chane al ha'ir v'lochta. And camp against the city and capture it. Pen ilkon ani es ha'ir. Because if not, I might be the one to capture the city. V'nigro shmi aleho. And my name will be called that Yoav is the one who captured the capital city of Ammon, and the victory will be credited to me. So Yoav was concerned for David's, because of honor for the monarchy, out of his concern for David, he said David should get the credit for the victory. Make it seem as if the victory could not be won without David bringing in the reinforcements. He'll gather the rest of the people, and then David leading the united army, the newcomers and the army that was there, together they will capture the city, and it'll be known as David's victory. And then Mephoshim point out it could be Yoav being cognizant of what had just happened, with David having taken Bathsheba, and there were people who felt that David didn't deserve to be the king, and there could be a rebellion against David, as we'll see later on happen with Avshalom. But it could be at this point, Yoav felt the extra necessity of making it clear that David was the leader, and without David they wouldn't have success, and they needed David to be the one to capture the city. Vayesof David es kol ha'am. So David gathered all the people. Vayelech rabosa. And he went to Rabbah. Vayilochem bo, and he battled with it. Vayilkedo, and he captured it. Vayikach es ateres malkom. He took the crown. Now Malkom was the name of the Avodah Zorah of Ammon. Malkom could also mean their king. So some Mephoshim learn it was the royal crown, some learn it was a crown that was on the idol, and it could be it was a crown that served both. It was normally on the idol, and on occasion the king would wear it. But this was a very important crown, that the fact that the Navid mentions this separately, that he took that Teres Malkom, he took this special crown. Me'al Rosho, off of the head of Poshim shot off of the idol. Now, the Gemara discusses in Avodah Zorah, if something is used for the idol, normally it's Osir Bahano. You're not allowed to have any benefit. Unless those who worship the idol declare that it's no longer an idol, and the idol has no power, and it's meaningless, and if somebody who serves the idol acknowledges that it's no longer a power, and it's no longer an idol, it's no longer special, there's a way to be mevatel the Avodah Zorah. And the Gemara discusses, obviously, that was done, that when David HaMelech took this crown from the idol, they had one of the Goyim come and show that the idol was meaningless, and by one of those who served it, one of the Goyim, showing that the idol is meaningless, then already the crown is permitted. But he took this crown, and Mishkola, the weight was kikar zov, a talent of gold. The Eben Yekora, and it had a precious stone in it. I saw in the art scroll, they said a kikar zov weighs around 64 pounds. And the Mephoshim are bothered. How could it be that he took such a heavy crown, and he fit it on his head? Vatiel Rosh David, it was on the head of David. So some learn that it doesn't mean literally the crown weighed a kikar zov. Umishkolet had a significant weight, and it was equal to a weight of kikar zov because it had a precious stone in it. This precious stone was so valuable that it was equivalent in value to a crown that would be a Kikar Zov. Some learned this Evan Yakar, the precious stone, was like a magnet. That it was a magnet in the crown, and they must have had a special, the ceiling, you know, where this crown was also metal, and the crown was situated in a certain way that it was on David HaMelech's head, but it really wasn't resting on his skull. It was being held up by this magnet. Or others say it could be there were strings that nobody could notice that were holding the crown, because it seems to be impossible that such a heavy crown should rest on the heads of David. Although some of Forshim learn it just means it was on his head, you know, for a few seconds, for a few moments. It's possible to have such a tremendous weight. And David HaMelech would put it on for a few moments just to show that he was worthy and was able to, and Hashem had given him such a crown to wear. Ushlal ho'ir hotzi harbe ma'od. And he took out the spoils from the city in great abundance. There was a tremendous shlal ho'ir. Ammon was a very wealthy nation. And now that it was captured, they took out all of the wealth. Now, ordinarily, when Klal Yisrael defeated their enemies, they treated the enemies very generously and very, very nicely, very civilly. There are a few cases, though, where action was taken to either to instill terror in the eyes of others, that the other nations shouldn't start up with Klal Yisrael, or under unusual circumstances, severe punishments were given to the people. Now, Ammon was, as we just mentioned, a very wealthy nation. And in Perek Yud, when we began the whole incident with Ammon, David had sent messengers to comfort them, comfort the king over the death of the king's father. And over there they abused David's messengers, they cut off the beards, and they cut their clothing, and they sent them back. Over there, we had mentioned that Ammon had hired Aram to fight for them. Or they obviously were wealthy enough to hire mercenaries. And they hired a number of different kings to help fight. The other kings were defeated, and they refused to join Ammon anymore. Now, they learned their lesson. That was at the end of Perek Yud. It says, Vayiru Aram lo shia odes b'nei Ammon. Aram was afraid to try to help Ammon anymore. Now, Aram learned their lesson. They were defeated and they stopped. Ammon was no longer in danger. In fact, they left Ammon and they returned back to Eretz Yisrael and they just left the nation as they were. Vayoshev Yoav me'al b'nei Ammon vayovu Yerushalayim. Also near the end of Perek Yud, it says Yoav went back to Yerushalayim and he left Ammon alone. Ammon, though, obviously kept on agitating for war. And in Perek Yud, Yud Aleph, when the kings go out, David felt that he had to send Yoav against Ammon because Ammon just wasn't making peace with the situation. And after this battle, in which there were Jewish soldiers who were killed besides Uriah, finally they captured Ammon. So they had to make an example that Ammon should finally stop fighting. V'esa'am asher bo, pasuk lamed aleph, the people there, hotzi, David took out, v'yosam ba'megeira, I don't know exactly what was done, it's not clear exactly what was done, it says he placed them with saws, uv'charitzei ha'barzel, and with iron threshing boards. Those are boards that have grooves and pegs used to break up the grain. Uvimagzeros habarzo, with iron axes. I don't know exactly what type of punishment was done, but it was obviously a severe type of torture. The heavier osam ba malbein. And he put them through this malbein. Either that's like a furnace that was used for making bricks, or he dragged them through the muddy streets. But v'chein yasa l'chol or b'nei Ammon. So he would do, it was almost as if there was a proclamation, whoever starts up any other cities in Ammon, this is going to be their punishment. V'chein yasa, so he would do, l'chol ari b'nei Ammon, to all the cities of b'nei Ammon. Or as once and for all, they should have their lesson, and it should stop. They should stop waging war against Klal Yisrael. V'yoshav David v'chol am Yerushalayim, and then David and all the people returned to Yerushalayim. So ends the incident of David and Bathsheba and Ammon. And now we get into another story. which is the stories in Shmuel Beis really are, a lot of them are difficult to understand. They have tremendous lessons, and hopefully we'll learn correct pshat. Perek Yud Gimel. We now begin the Maisa of Amnon and Tamar. Vayhi Achrechein. Afterwards. We had just learned what happened with David and Bathsheba, and David himself said, the person, the rich man who takes the poor man's sheep, has to pay four times as much. And he deserves, deserves to be killed. And after David did the tshuva, he was told he would not die. But the idea that there would be a fourfold payment, he took Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah, and he took Bathsheba, he should get four types of punishments. A fourfold payment. Now is continuing. Vayhi Achrechein was afterwards. We're going to begin the story of Amnon and Tamar. David had one punishment that the first baby of Bathsheba died. He had another punishment that we'll see Amnon had relations with Tamar. Amnon, who was his own son, lived with Tamar, who we'll see was David's daughter. We'll see exactly what happened, but that incident was a punishment for David. Then the third punishment is Avshalom ended up killing Amnon. Avshalom, who was a different son, was angry what Amnon did, and he eventually ends up killing Amnon. And then Avshalom took the Pilagshim, the concubines, the Pilagshim of David. Avshalom ended up being killed. And before that, when David was fleeing, David was cursed and was they heaped scorn on David. All these different events comprise the punishments that David received because of the incident of Bathsheba. Vayhi Achrechein, it was after this, will Avshalom ben David, Achos Yafa. Avshalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister, Ushma Tamar, and her name was Tamar. Vayehaveha Amnon ben David. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now the question is, who exactly is Tamar? There are psukim, just to mention, there's psukim over here, she's called the sister of Avshalom. Even though Avshalom is the son of David, Amnon is the son of David, she's called the sister of Avshalom. That seems to be, it's not the sister of Amnon. In other words, could be, we'll see in a moment, maybe Tamar's and Avshalom shared the same mother, but she's not David's daughter. We'll see later on, when Amnon was questioned why he looked sick and he was so upset, and Pasuk Hey, actually, before we get to that Pasuk Hey, in Pasuk Dalet, Amnon said, Tamar, who's the sister of Avshalom, my brother, I love. Again, Tamar is referred to as the sister of Avshalom. And later on, when Amnon took Tamar, Tamar said to him, don't do anything. Just ask the king, Dabar el Hamelech, speak to the king, Ki lo yimnoeni mimecha, he won't hold me back from you. That's in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Tamar said to Amnon, if you'd ask the king, he'll let you marry me. From those psukim, it seems to be that Avshalom had a sister, Tamar, who was not at all related to Amnon. On the other hand, there's many psukim that seem to say it was Amnon's sister also. In Pasuk Hey, Amnon is advised to say, Tavo no Tamar achosi, let my sister Tamar come and feed me. And then again in Pasuk Vav, Amnon said to the king, said to David, let Tamar, my sister, come and prepare the food. And when Tamar spoke to Amnon, she said, my brother, don't do this terrible thing. And there's other psukim, when Avshalom spoke to Tamar, he said, don't make a big deal out of it, it's what your brother did, let's just keep everything low key. So, was Amnon Tamar's brother or not? The Abarbanel learns the Pashup Shot, as you would say, Avshalom was the sister, was the brother of Tamar from the father. David HaMelech had a daughter, Tamar. David HaMelech had a son, Avshalom. David HaMelech had a son, Amnon. Just he had different wives. David had different wives. Avshalom and Tamar were full-blooded brother and sister. They had the same father and the same mother. Amnon was a half-brother. And that's why Amnon refers to Tamar, it's referred to as his sister. It was the same father. On the other hand, it was only a half-sister to Amnon, so sometimes the Pasuk calls it Avshalom's sister. The one pasuk that would be difficult, according to that approach, is why Tamar said to Amnon, "Ask the king, and he'll let you marry me." So that Abravanel says is the truth is it wasn't true. If they'd asked David HaMelech, he would never permit it. But she was trying to say something to cause Amnon to let go. So she said that to Amnon, "Ask the king, and he'll let you marry me." It wasn't true, but she was hoping that it would stop Amnon. But Chazal have a different approach. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on the Daf Chof Aleph, when David went to war, there was a Yifas Toar. And he took Macha, that was the name of this princess, who was placed in war to attract the enemy soldiers, and David saw her, and David took Macha. As a Yifas Toar, it's allowed for somebody, when in the heat of battle, if he sees somebody and desires her, there's the parsha of Yifas Toar that she's permitted. And David took her. And when they first lived together, it was before she was Megayer. That's what the Torah allows. This is the way Tosfos learns in Sanhedrin. The heter is because Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzahara, that we're able to keep every mitzvah of the Torah. Except this was one thing the Torah knew that a person can't overcome. It's hard to know the emotions of somebody fighting a war. And the Torah says this is allowed. So David took Macha, and it was before she was Megayer. So and she had this daughter, Tamar. But Tamar was born, therefore it comes out her mother was not yet Jewish. So Tamar is not considered to be the daughter of David. She's considered to be the daughter of this Macha before Macha was Megayer. Later on, Macha was Megayer, and then Tamar was born, and she conceived before Macha was Megayer, before she became Jewish. But later on, she became Jewish, Tamar was born, then she had a child, Avshalom, and David, of course, had his other children. So it comes out Avshalom and Tamar had the same mother. But it's not called, Tamar is not called the daughter of David. Therefore, she would have been permitted to David's son Amnon, who was born from a different mother. In other words, Amnon, it's as if Amnon had a different father and a different mother. Because Tamar is as if she had no father. The fact that it was from a Jewish father and the mother was not Jewish, it's not traced to the father at all. Ha'isha v'ilodeo tia ladoneho, like we had in yesterday's laning, a shivcha by a maidservant, the children go with the mother. And the same thing with a non-Jewish woman. That's the way the Gemara learns. Tosfos learns actually that she would have, Rashi learns that she would have been Megayer before they lived together the first time. And according to that, you'll have to say she was already expecting with Tamar. But in any case, the Gemara learns Tamar was not really David's daughter. And whenever she's referred to as the brother of Amnon, it's just because she grew up in the royal household. She was treated as one of the family. She was treated like a princess. But technically, she was not David's daughter. The truth is, I didn't notice in the Mefarshim a discussion on this. But the whole idea of a Yifas Toar, I was thinking there's the idea of a Yifas Toar, somebody goes to war, the fact that David took Macha as a wife of Yifas Toar, it just seems difficult to understand how somebody like David HaMelech can do such a thing. And before I say what I'm thinking, we've mentioned before, and it's something that we always have to keep in mind. You know, the famous Maisa, the Chassid saw the Beis Aron, the Rav Aaron Karliner, eating an apple. He made a bracha and he ate an apple. And the Chassid thought to himself, you know, I also make a bracha and eat an apple. Well, what's the difference? We all make a bracha and eat an apple. And the Rebbe explained to him the difference is you would like to eat an apple. So you make a bracha in order to eat the apple. I would like to make a bracha, but you can't just go ahead and make a bracha unless it has something to take effect on. If you're making a bracha that thanking Hashem for creating the fruit, you're only allowed to make that bracha when you eat the apple. So I eat the apple in order to make a bracha. Not only that, the truth is when you make a bracha, what you make a bracha on should be the tastiest. In fact, one of the reasons you have salt on the table when you make hamotzi is that you should dip the bread in the salt that it should be tastier. People like salt on their food. It should taste the best. In general, when you have the bracha should be on the most important thing. So you can have somebody who's going ahead and he's looking for the best apple and the most delicious food, and we look at him from our vantage point and think, you know, I do that also. I like this, and therefore I make a bracha and I eat it. But the truth is, with great tzaddikim, it's the other way around. They want to make a bracha. And when you're thanking Hashem, you thank Hashem for the best. And you should eat it with an appetite and have that akaras atayim. And therefore, they're doing the same things, but it's a totally different, reasoning. So whatever I say, it's hesitating because you're talking about David HaMelech. Whatever we're thinking is way off the mark because we don't have any appreciation of David HaMelech's greatness. So, keeping that in mind, the inyan with the Yafas Tohar, I was thinking it could be two approaches. One approach is, it's clear Dibur Torah Keneged Yetzirah. It's something that we don't understand. We go through life, we have many nisyonos, many mitzvahs seem difficult, seem almost impossible. Right? You can't speak Lashon Hara even once. Even once you're not allowed to. A person, when he's not allowed to get angry, at certain times, you should never get angry in the wrong place. It might show anger. There's so many mitzvahs that we find difficult to do. And yet the Torah expects you to do it all. Here's an example where the Torah said, a man, it could be when you're going into war and you feel your life is on the line and like, I don't know, but in the heat of battle, the Torah says this is something where the Torah realizes it's something that a person can't withstand. His emotions just, I don't know if they go haywire, but under the pressure and the stress and the of battle, it's understood that people would do this. And therefore, you're right, Baruch Hashem, I haven't been in war, hopefully none of us here have. It's hard to understand, but the Torah said, whether you understand it or not, every other mitzvah you're expected to keep without a problem. This here, the Torah is saying, is permitted. So if we don't understand it, Baruch Hashem, we haven't been under such situations. I was thinking another approach could be, there's a concept mentioned called Shochad L'Satan. It's discussed in a number of places. The Ramban and Achrei Mos discusses it. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadashim. It goes into the holiest place. And on Yom Kippur, the Avodah is done on a level in the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. We're like Malachim, we're like angels. And part of the Avodah of Yom Kippur is they take two goats that look exactly the same, they're the same height, they cost the same amount of money, they're identical. And then these two goats, one of them is taken to the cliff, and he's thrown off a cliff in the desert, and the other one's a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mefarshim talk about why, what's the significance behind that. And the Ramban brings down a chazal. He said it's not like the desert represents like no man's land, the wasteland, where the satan is, the sitra achra, the power of tumah. In other words, it's like being sent out to where the demons are, the spirits are. Seirim itself is the term that's used. The Seirim was used like Avodah Zarah. The idea of these goats. But he says, Chas v'shalom, it's not like on Yom Kippur, we're sending a present to the power of evil. Chas v'shalom. He said it's like this. It's like a king who's making a seudah, he's making a banquet. He asks somebody to prepare a banquet for the king. And he says, at this banquet, I would like everyone to be happy. I don't want anyone to have complaints, to feel left out. Invite everyone. So when the host invites everyone, he doesn't care about the guests. The king says everyone should be happy. And on Yom Kippur, the nimshal is, on Yom Kippur, Hashem doesn't want the satan to be makatrig. Nobody should have any complaints on Yom Kippur. So Hashem says, you're not that we're serving, and not that we're sending it to the power of evil. Hashem says, I would like on Yom Kippur, give the Satan this goat. Send it away. And we're not doing it for the Satan. We're doing it because Hashem would like on Yom Kippur, nobody should have any complaints. Nobody should have any complaints. From here, the Bali Musa learn out an idea called Shochad L'Satan. You know, some people can go through life and you're constantly battling the Yetzirah. And everything's a struggle. Every step of the day. You get up in the morning, you don't want to get up and go to shul. And you get up and you go to shul, and then you don't want to daven. And then you finish davening, you don't want to learn. And you don't want to give tzedakah, and you don't want to make a bracha. The whole day is a struggle. And if a person thinks of his day, that every moment he's got this battle, he can't fight forever. He can't go on. But sometimes there's an idea known as a Shochad L'Satan. Meaning sometimes you give a gift to the Satan. And first of all, a person's general attitude should be not to make everything a nisayon. You got to look at the positive. You know, it's good to come to shul. You got a bunch of friends and people you know, like-minded, and you have a chance to speak privately to Hashem, and it's quiet, and the base medrash is warm, and it's comfortable, and you know, a person has a chance to learn. It's probably less stressful than if he's at work. You know, a person should look at the advantages and the simcha in serving Hashem. But there's a concept of Shochad L'Satan, meaning, I remember once as a bachur in yeshiva asking the mashgiach, you know, sometimes the breakfast example, but you know, you like to eat a Danish, you want to eat some cake. And there's really no need for it. But it's on your mind the whole day. You know, you wish you could eat this. You wish you could eat this. You know. I once asked the mashgiach. They said, you know, when that happens, you're probably better off. Just go ahead and eat it. You know, just go get yourself a piece of cake and eat it. And then you sit down to learn. And you say, listen, you wanted the piece of cake. You had it. Now learn. Instead of sitting the whole morning thinking to yourself, you know, I wish, should I buy the Danish? Should I not buy the Danish? You know, I wish I had the Danish. You know, the bachur in yeshiva is basically eating, sleeping, and learning. And when the learning goes difficult, you think of the eating and the sleeping. You know, it's not, you know, so just go ahead. If that's the little thing that's bothering you and it's mutter, just go ahead and do it and get on with your life. You know, you gotta learn. It could be, this is something, your fast Torah is something that's totally mutter. It's mutter. And it could be David HaMelech, you know, if he wanted, could have overcome that. But if it's something mutter, could be David felt it's more important for him to focus his spiritual energies not in battling against something that's permitted. If it's permitted, it's permitted. And then he can focus his greatness and his kochos in serving Hashem in other ways than fighting against something that there's no real reason to fight. In any case, he had this Yifas Toar, Macha. She gave birth to a daughter, Tamar, who was not legally David's daughter, because at that point she was Yifas Toar. That was the daughter, Tamar. Then, with the same Macha, David had a son, Avshalom. So Avshalom and Tamar share the same mother. Amnon is a different son of David. In general, we're going to learn through this whole story what happened with Amnon and Tamar. And in general, stories like this should not be elaborated on. We'll see why. It's the type of thing that normally is not discussed. And it's not discussed. But here, this is the source in Novi. When somebody, in battling the Yetzirah, knowing what the trials that a person goes through, what the Nisyonis are, this is the source. This one perek, it elaborates and it teaches us different halachos in proper conduct and in Musar and in halacha and with the many lessons to be learned, and this is the source exactly for this Nisayon. So Avshalom ben David had this sister Tamar. Vayehaveha Amnon ben David. Amnon ben David loved her. The Bala Turim points out in Chumash. There's another place that says Vayehaveha. That's when Yitzchak took Rivka into the tent. And the Bala Turim says the same word is used in both cases to show the difference. When Yitzchak took Rivka, that was a true love. And over here, Vayehaveha Amnon ben Tamar, he loved her, but we'll see, it was really a lust. It wasn't a real love, and it was not. We'll see, it was what's an ava teluya bedavar. It was a love that wasn't one of caring, but it was because he had his ulterior motives, his own personal desires, and therefore, as it says in Pirkei Avos, such a love doesn't last. Vayetzer la Amnon. Lehischalos. Amnon was so upset and so had such a strong desire, and it bothered Amnon so much, Lizchalos, that he became sick over this. Bavur Tamar Achoso, he had to have Tamar. He wanted Tamar, he loved her, and he wanted to be able to take her as a wife, she should be his. And he became sick over it. Ki Basula, she was a Basula, she had never been married. Vayipole Be'enei Amnon, it was just like, Vayipole either means it was concealed, it was like covered up in the eyes of Amnon. He couldn't see a way of solving his problem. Lasos lo me'uma, to do anything to her. There was no way that he could get access to her. And he became sick over this. Amnon was Choshuv. Amnon was the first son, was the Bechor of David. This was David HaMelech's oldest son, the Bechor. Logic would have been that he should be the king. We know that obviously Shlomo HaMelech was intended to be the king. But he was the oldest son of David. He was very Choshuv. And over here, Tamar, even if she wasn't actually his sister, but everyone, she grew up in the royal household, people thought of her as his sister. He didn't know how he would be able to marry her. And as we learned in these nisyonos that come up, there wasn't the measure of siyata dishmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted David to get a punishment that these tragedies would happen to him. So whatever is going to happen now, also Amnon is not having the siyata dishmaya to help him do the right thing. The Malbim explains, Vayetzar la'Amnon, Amnon was so upset about this, Lischaus, and he became sick. Bavur Tamar Achoso, it stresses Tamar, his sister. Meaning people thought of her as a sister, and therefore he wouldn't be able to marry her. And even, and the only way to marry her would be to like proclaim and let everybody know that she was born from Ma'acha before Ma'acha became Jewish. She was born when her mother was still not Jewish. And to make a big deal out of that, and that would be the only way you could marry her, but that would be not in keeping with Amnon's honor. Amnon is the Bechor of David. How could he go ahead and marry such a wife? And she wouldn't agree to be a Pilegesh. So, in order to be only a concubine, in order, she was an important person. She had grown up in the royal household like a princess. So, the only way Damo can marry her is by dispelling the myth and letting everybody know that she wasn't even really born, from a Jewish father. At that point, her mother wasn't Jewish, and therefore she's not called David's daughter. And ki basula hi. What the other problem is, she was a basula, a virgin, an unmarried girl, and a basula would stay in the house. Or she didn't go out in the outside, she was very tsanua, she stayed in the king's palace, and therefore there was no way that Amnon could even had any connection with her. In other words, he must have seen her on occasion, but there was no way that he had any way of speaking to her or working out a solution. So vayipoli be'enei Amnon, it was concealed to the eyes of Amnon, lasas lo me'uma. He didn't see any way that he could do anything with this problem he had. Ul Amnon Rea. Now Amnon had a friend. Ushmo Yonadav, and his name was Yonadav ben Shima Achi David, the son of Shima, who is David's brother. David had a brother Shima, and this was David's nephew, Yonadav. V'Yonadav ish chacham ma'od. Yonadav was a very cunning man, very wise. Usually the word chacham is used for somebody who's a chacham in Torah, and it's used as a praise of a person, as a sign of greatness. He's a chacham. Here, ish chacham ma'od means, as Rashi brings down, he was a wise man l'risha, for wickedness. That Yonadav is going to give him advice that's going to destroy Amnon. Literally, Amnon is going to be, in the spiritual sense, and in the physical sense, Amnon ends up being killed. In the Ovester of Nosson, Perek Tes, on the Mishnah, Al Tischaber L'Rosha, in Pirkei Ovis, says you shouldn't become a chaver, don't become a colleague with a Rosha, don't be friends with a Rosha. brings this example. Like Amnon had a friend Yonadav. He was a wise man, and he came from a good family, but he didn't know Yonadav's inner motives. Yonadav was lacking the Yirah Shemayim, and he was a bad influence. And a friend like Yonadav is what destroyed Amnon. Now, it seems like could be David HaMelech wasn't even aware of what type of a person Yonadav was. And he didn't know that Yonadav is going to give the advice that we're going to learn about. Because we'll see later on, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Yonadav mentions to David HaMelech, David HaMelech was upset, and Yonadav voices his opinion. So it seems that Yonadav ben Shima was known in the royal household, and his views were, he expressed his opinion. David obviously would listen to him. David, it's not clear if he knew what type of a person either, what type of a person Yonadav was. But he was this Ish Chochamot, he was very wise. And actually, the Malbim has a slightly different approach. That what Yonadav said was an act of wickedness, and it's going to cause the worst thing for Amnon. However, there was an element of chokhmah, there was a positive message here, and could be Yonadav himself meant well, just it ended up coming out and causing wickedness. It caused rishus, it had a terrible outcome, but possibly Yonadav himself was not so bad. And the Malbim explains like this. Vayomer lo, Yonadav said to Amnon, Madua ata kochadal. Why are you so downtrodden? You look so in such bad condition. Ben HaMelech, the son of the king. Baboker, every morning, I look at you recently, every morning it looks like you had a rough night. You look like a defeated man. Hello, Tagili, won't you tell me? That itself was one part of his chochmah. He stressed, you look so bad in the morning. It's brought down in Yoredeya, in Simen Shin Lamed Hei, and the halachas of Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch not to visit the first 3 hours of the day. Because the patient looks his best in the morning. The blood pressure, I think, is down. The fever is down. After a night's sleep, usually the body is in a better state than it was previously. So if somebody's mavaka chol in the morning, sometimes looks at the patient looks like he's all better, and you don't take his condition as being too serious. And to mention also not to visit at the end of the day, because usually after a long day, the patient looks only, a person can feel it's hopeless. But if you visit, you get in the middle of the day, you get a more honest evaluation of where the patient is. There's an exception though. A person with a physical ailment, so when he spends the night and he has so many hours of downtime, quiet. It's quiet at night. Hopefully he sleeps, the lights are out. He's hopefully feeling better in the morning. On the other hand, when a person has this Yetzirah, during the day he's occupied with other things. It might be on his mind, he might be suffering from this Yetzirah, but there are other things doing also. On the contrary, the nighttime when it's quiet and nothing's doing and he's just thinking, at nighttime his mind is agitated, and when he wakes up in the morning, he's looking his worst. So when Yonadav looked at Amnon, and so in the morning, Madu ata kochadal, you look so bad in the morning, every morning you look this way. Obviously something's been on your mind at night. So Yonadav already realized what the problem is. And he said to Amnon, Halo Tagidi, I want you to tell me what it is. Vayomerlo Amnon. And Amnon obviously had a trust in this friend. Normally a person would feel embarrassed to say what he's thinking to somebody. Choshuv. Vayomerlo Amnon. Amnon said to him, Es Tamar Achos Avshalom. Tamar, who's the sister of Avshalom Ochi, my brother Avshalom, he has a sister Tamar. And ani ohev, I love her, and that's what's causing me to feel this way and to be sick over it. That's why I am the way I am. So now Yonadav gives his advice. Vayomer lo Yehonadav. Yehonadav says, Shchav al mishkovcha. Lie on your bed. V'hischol. And feign illness. Pretend you're sick. From the word chole. V'hischol. Make yourself sick. In other words, feign illness. Pretend you're sick. Uvo avicha lirosecha. Your father will come to see you. V'omar toi lov. And you should say to him as follows. Tavo no tamar achosi, please, or now let my sister Tamar come, v'savreni lechem, and give me a light meal. Savreni is like a sudas havro, the small meal that's given to a mourner, lo aleinu, after the burial. Give me a light meal, savreni lechem. In other words, I'm sick, I'm not going to eat a big meal, but I'd like her to prepare me a little something to eat. V'osasa le'enayas habirya. She should prepare la'ena in front of my eyes. I should be able to watch es habirya as she prepares this light food. That's like for the word v'savreini. When she prepares the food. L'man asher eren, in order that I should see. V'ochalti miyodo, and I will eat from her hand. She'll feed me. Almost as if he's too sick to feed himself. He can't hold the spoon. But she should feed me. Now, if you look at the pasuk, first of all, it's out of order. First, you prepare the food, and then you feed it. It should say, "V'asasala einaya sabiria." She should prepare the food, and then "V'savreini lechem," feed it to me. Not feed me and prepare it in front of me. It's out of order, and it's redundant. It says she should feed me the light meal, prepare the food in front of me, in order that I should see, and I should eat from her hand. And I was just saying, let her prepare the food and feed me. And it was prepared in front of me. If you say, v'osasa la'enai es habirya, that means I'm seeing it. Why do you have to tell me l'man asher era? It says, v'osasa la'enai. The Malbim says, could be Yonadav was trying to tell him, if you give this message to David HaMelech, David will realize that it's not just you need food and you need an attendant to feed you. You're stressing, let her prepare it in front of me, in order that I should see, and I'll eat from her hand, v'savreini lechem, she'll feed me, and then you also mention, I'll eat from her hand. And David HaMelech will realize, if you tell him like this, David HaMelech will realize exactly what's on your mind, and he'll know how to deal with it. The problem is, v'yishkav Amnon v'yischol, Amnon lied in the bed, and he pretended he was sick. Vayomer Hamelech l'Roso, the king came to see him. Vayomer Amnon el Hamelech, and Amnon said to the king, Tovo no Tamar achosi, let my sister Tamar come. And he leaves out half the message. He didn't realize that the words of Yehonadav were meant to be said precisely. He just said, let Tamar come, uslabev le'enai shtei levivos, and she should prepare in front of me two levivos, two of this food, ve'evre miyodo, and I should eat it from her hands. I saw it translated as dumplings. But we'll see in the psukim, these levivos are something that the dough is kneaded, or it seems to be, I guess, thicker than a pancake. You actually knead it, and yet it's made in a frying pan, and those are the levivos. Ve'evre miyodo, and I should eat from her. But he left out the stress that as the whole message of Yehonadav. Now again, Amnon wasn't zoicha to get the good advice. What advice would you say to Amnon? What do you say to somebody like that who's, he actually was sick? The pasuk says it was noticeable, and this was every day, it wasn't like a passing thing. It was baboker, baboker, every day you saw that he was downtrodden, it was taking a toll on him, and he was sick over it. The advice that Yehonadav should have given is brought down in Shulchan Aruch Evan Ho'ezer, Simen Chof Hei. This is what Chazal would tell the person. The first sif is like this. Royu la'odom lahargil atzmo b'kedusha yisera. It's fitting for a person to accustom himself with the Kedusha Yisera, an extra holiness. Uv'machshava tahora, and he should have a pure thoughts. Uv'das nechonan, the correct attitude, the correct mind. Kedei lehinotzel, in order to be saved, milehi koshel bidvar erva, from stumbling in a matter of forbidden relations, in the arayas. a person sometimes he has to conduct himself with an extra holiness, and he's got to be careful what he thinks about. He's got to, even though it's difficult, he's got to control his mind. And he's got to be careful from being alone with a woman who's forbidden to him. Shehu hagorim hagodol. That's the greatest cause. If you want to know what causes the problems, it's yichud, when they're secluded. Now, of course, we're going to see what happened was not yet usher. It's usher to have yichud with a single, with a pinuya. David HaMelech was the one who decreed that after this incident. But we're looking at it before it was usher. In other words, there was nothing wrong, al pi halacha, with Amnon being alone with Tamar. So what's going to happen, what happened before that was not technically wrong. The yichud by itself was allowed. But you got to be careful from that. V'chein yinhog lihisrachek, a person should accustom himself to distance, mehaschok, from schok is lightheaded laughter, frivolity. Umei hashikrus, and from being drunk. Umei divrei agovim, those are words of like romance, words of that increase a person's desire for averus. V'lo yeshev, v'lo isha, and he shouldn't remain without a wife. Sheminik zegorim l'tahara gedola, having a wife causes a great purity. But first the Machaber mentions this idea, and you should know it's something that's one of the great nisyonos of today's culture, besides the fact that what people see, and there's a certain lightheadedness. Frivolity, joking, it's not serious, people speak offhanded about it, about things that are really, really so chamur, so severe and so important. And a person's got to be careful from that. Yeserim, he calls those Umru. And more than all of this, the greatest thing, the greatest item that can protect somebody from Avera is Yifna Atzmo Machshavto L'Divrei Torah. He's got to clear his mind out from everything else, and he's got to focus on Torah. V'yarchiv Daito B'Chochma. And he should expand his mind in Chochma. She'ein Machsheves Arayus Miskaberes. The thought of Arayus only goes into a heart that's panui meha chokhma, that's empty from chokhma. In other words, somebody who's suffering from this type of yetzahara, and it's difficult because when somebody's in it, it's very hard. But he's got to be careful, he's got to keep away from the off-color jokes and from the wrong types of articles and the wrong types of things. He's got to be careful what he sees. And more than anything else, he's got to put his mind into learning. And if somebody's mind is in learning, he'll be saved from this. But this is what Yehonadav suggested. Suggested, go ahead and ask that Tamar should come. And she should prepare the food in front of you. And he realized, first of all, David HaMelech would realize what Amnon was up to. And David would be able to deal with it appropriately. Sure, David would have told him what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And even if Tamar would come to him, Yonadav figured once he has a chance to speak to Tamar, he can tell her how much he loves her. And as we mentioned, it is permitted. It was permitted for Amnon to marry Tamar. So if she sees how much it means to him, could be she would agree to marry him. And you're right, this way it would be publicized that she was not really a daughter of David HaMelech, and it would require a certain sacrifice on her hand, on her part, but if he would discuss it with her, they'd be able to work something out. So he lied in bed, David HaMelech came to see him, and he told David that Tamar should come. Now, another point to keep in mind is, in those days they were careful on eating chulin b'tahara, meaning the food that they ate was tahar, was pure, which we don't have nowadays. Anybody, we're all tamei mesim, we're all not careful with it. In general, there's other types of tumah we're not careful with. So certain ideas of tumah b'tahara that were in the times of Chazal, in other words, a woman, even if she was a single girl, she wouldn't be a nida. Whereas once she was able to purify herself, she was. And as ordinarily, she would not be a nida most of the month, because whatever food she would touch would become tamei. Whenever you serve food in the house, there was food that was tamei for the people who weren't able to eat tahar, and the rest of the people were eating tahar, and it was a complicated way of life that we're not used to. But they had to be careful what they sat on and what they touched, and the whole course of the way life went on. We had when Shaul made his meal for Rosh Chodesh, and David didn't show up. This was in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chav, Pasuk Chavav. So Yehonah's son said to his father, could be David HaMelech wasn't pure, Dilti Tahar Hu Kilo Tahar, he wasn't in a state of Tahara, of purity, so he didn't come to the meal. As it was understood, you had your guest list, and there was somebody, it could be men, it could be women, it could be... whoever wasn't pure didn't come, because the meals were eaten with Bitahara. So that's another point that, as I say, nowadays, it would get into the Chiyuv of Kares. It's one of the worst Averis, the Isser of Nida, but that didn't apply over here. She was a Basula, but she would have been ordinarily Tahar. And it compounds his Nisayon. Vayishlach David el Tamar. David sent a message to Tamar Habaisa, to the house. Langmore. Arts Tamar was in the house. That's where they normally stayed. And that's why Amnon had no access to her. She was Habaisa. And the message was Langmore saying, Lechina, go now, base Amnon Achich, to your brother Amnon, go to his house. And arts the different children of David HaMelech, I guess from, I don't know if it was the difference between the boys and the girls or the different wives, but obviously we were in different houses. And arts Tamar was in her house, and Amnon had his own house. Go to the house of Amnon, Vasilo Habirya, and prepare the light meal for him. Now, part of David HaMelech's onesh, part of the punishment that happened, is that David himself, tragically, ends up the one who brings out this terrible thing. In other words, David himself sent a message to Tamar, telling Tamar to go to Amnon. So what's going to happen is almost David HaMelech caused it. He's the one who told Tamar to go. But his message was that the brother is very sick. He probably figured that Tamar is an excellent cook. And Amnon knew that he happened to like very often as kol ochel tesayiv nafsham, like it says in Tehillim. Somebody's sick and he has no appetite to eat all the food that he despises. And Amnon knew that he was sick and he couldn't eat. And he could just eat a light meal if it was prepared the way Tamar prepared it. Because she was an excellent cook. And he'd be able to eat a little bit if she prepared it. And he wanted to see, make sure that she's preparing it exactly the way he remembers. She probably made it one time. He wants to see the way she does it. So here he's sick. Tamar, so David HaMelech figured, he just wants the way Tamar could, he wants Tamar's cooking. To have a light meal. So David HaMelech didn't realize there was something terrible in Amnon's mind. Tamar got the message. She probably figured, first of all, this could be pikuach nefesh. She has no idea what the condition of Amnon is. She gets the message, Amnon needs her to cook food for him. So it could be snogeh pikuach nefesh. And David HaMelech, because of kibud av, she treated like the father. Here, David HaMelech told her to go, and it's the command of the king. So she doesn't think anything of it, and she goes to prepare the food. Vatelech Tamar, so Tamar went, base Amnon Achia to the house of her brother Amnon, for who shochev, and he was lying there. Vatikach es abotzek, she took the dough, vatolosh, and she kneaded it, vatlabev le'enov, and she made it into these dumplings, she prepared the food in front of Amnon's eyes, and then she cooked it, and the Novi discusses every step exactly how she was preparing it. And the fact that he was seeing it doesn't make the Yetzer Hara decrease, that at least he was able to see or whatever. If anything, it just makes the Yetzer Hara stronger and stronger. And she took the frying pan, and she poured out the food in front of Amnon. He saw exactly how she made it. Vayimoyin lechol. And he refused to eat. Vayomer Amnon. Amnon said, Hotziu chol ish me'olai. Take out all people from before me. I don't want anyone in the room. Vayetzu chol ishmei olav. Everybody left. Now, when they left, it could be they remained outside the door and they heard noise inside because Tamar protested, but they were afraid to. They were told to leave by the prince. Amnon was David, that was the king, son of the king, and Amnon told them to leave. Could be they were afraid to walk in. Or it could be even more likely they didn't hear anything. First of all, it could be they left and they were totally gone. They went home. All of their work shift is over, so they left. Okay. I have to stop here. To be continued.